Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Metzorah. This week, Rabbi David Levenkreuz discusses Metzorah. There is a handout for this podcast, so please check the next episode in the podcast series, print it out, and use it to follow along with Rabbi Levenkreuz. Rabbi David Levenkreuz is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the director of special programs for Pardes. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
Thank you, Larry. This week is Parshat Metzorah, and no doubt if you go to shul or if you're studying the parsha somewhere, the talk will be of Lashon Hara, of speaking evil of poor people, because for the rabbis, Tzara'at, Metzorah, the skin disease that is sometimes translated as leprosy, that we're not 100% sure what it was. Tzara'at is seen as connected to speaking Lashon Hara. It's some type of a psychosomatic illness which people get as a physical expression of an internal mistake or sin that they've been done. And if you ask most people where this comes from, if they know about it, they'll speak about Miriam, who spoke Lashon Hara in the book of Bamidbar about her brother Moshe. God comes down and God says, no, this was no good. Moses is a great human being and Miriam is plagued with Tzara'at. But the fact of the matter is that it's really only circumstantial evidence that we have of the connection between Miriam and Lashon Hara. The Torah never explicitly states that Lashon Hara is the cause of Miriam's leprosy. And in fact, that's much, much more from the rabbis than from the Torah. In fact, if we were to go according to what is explicitly said in the Tanakh, in the Bible, we would think that Tzara'at comes from haughtiness. For example, in Divrei Hayamim, the second book of Divrei Hayamim, all the way at the end of the Tanakh, chapter 26, verses 11 to 22, we read that King Uzziyahu was struck with Tzara'at after he haughtily entered the Kodesh Kodashim to offer Ketoret, to offer the special spices. And in fact, most other occurrences of Tzara'at in the Tanakh involve the problem of ga'ava, of arrogance, such as Uzziyahu, which we just mentioned, and also Naaman and Gehazi in Malachim Bet, chapter 5. It seems very, very much more, if we were going to go according to the strict pshat of the Tanakh, that we would say it had to do with haughtiness. However, there is one place where the connection between Miriam speaking and Tzara'at is made even more explicit, and that is in the book of Devarim, in Parashat Ki Teitzei, which I actually had the pleasure of spending an entire year giving a course on Parashat Ki Teitzei. It is the most mitzvah-rich parasha in the Torah, filled with wonderful, wonderful halachot, which are so interesting. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm actually going to examine two psukim from Ki Teitzei as a way for us to understand Metzorah and the connection between Tzara'at and what Miriam did and Lashon Hara. If we look at Devarim 24, verses 8 to 9, it says, Hishamer benega ha-Tzara'at lishmor mo'od, ולעשות ככל אשר יורו אתכם הכהנים הלוויים, כאשר ציוויתם תשמרו לעשות. You must be very careful to do exactly what the priests tell you to do. Follow them exactly. And suddenly, זכור את אשר עשה אדוני אלוהיך למרים בדרך בצאתכם ממצרים. Remember what God did to Miriam on the journey after you left Egypt. Suddenly, in the middle of this halachot, you have a narrative piece. And what's the connection? Why do they suddenly bring in a narrative piece? And how is skin diseases connected to Miriam? So to start off already here, we see that it's not just from Bamidbar that the rabbis got it. They got it here from Dvarim. And it is much, much more explicit that Miriam did something wrong that led to her getting Tzara'at. It isn't saying that it's definitely Lashon Hara or that she spoke badly of her brother, but it is making the connection much more explicit. And what I'd like to do with you together today is to look at the connection between Tzara'at and Miriam. So if you look in your source sheets, there are four answers I would like to claim as to what the connection is between Miriam and Sara'at. The obvious one, I don't know if it's obvious. It's obvious because we have absorbed this idea. Rashi gives his answer. He says, if you don't want to get Sara'at, do not speak slander in the first place. Al tasaper lashon hara. Zachor ha'asui leMiriam shedibra ba'achim ba'achea. He says, Rashi says very clearly, it's a cautionary tale. No. It could happen to you. There's a specific commandment to refrain from such slander as that committed by Miriam. According to this, Miriam contacted Sara'at following her complaints regarding Moshe's marriage to an Isha Kushit, a Kushite woman. Was it because she wasn't from the tribe? Was it because she was black? We're going to see another answer later. But whatever it is, according to this idea that Miriam got leprosy because she spoke Lashon Hara, and Ramban emphasizes it. We remember the great punishment which God inflicted upon the righteous prophetess who spoke only about her brother upon whom she had bestowed her mercy and whom she loved as herself. And she spoke nothing wrong to his face, but only in privacy between her and her holy brother Aaron. Yet all her good deeds were of no avail to her. You too, gam ata lo tinatzel. You too will not be saved. If there was any Jewish guilt that was absent over there, now we have it. Making it absolute loud and clear. Don't speak Lashon Hara. You will get Tzara'at. And make both of them feel the connection is very, very explicit. So the first answer is that the connection between Miriam and Sara'at is, first of all, that she spoke Lashon Hara and therefore they got Sara'at. But secondly, that the value of connecting Miriam and the narrative to Sara'at is its moral exhortation. This could happen to you too. This is Ma'aseh Shehaya. This is something that happened. And so we see the power of connecting Sara'at to Lashon Hara and the power of connecting Lashon Hara to Miriam. And that's really what we're looking at. The power of connecting Sara'at to Lashon Hara, the power of connecting Lashon Hara to Miriam. The Ramban, Nachmanides with an N, the Ramban gives a different answer. If we look at number 4 on your source sheets, when the Ramban says, Zachor et Asher Asa Hashem Elokech leMiriam b'derech betzetchem b'Mitzrayim, he immediately, with his sensitive ear, is thinking of other Zachor Etz. Zachor et Asher Asa Lecha Amalek b'derech betzetchem b'Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on your return after you left Egypt. We just read that in Shul a few Shabbatot ago. We read about Amalek on Shabbat Zachor. And he is immediately thinking of other places where the Torah introduces a mitzvah with a similar expression. And Ramban says, in my opinion, this actually is a positive commandment. What Rashi considers drash, exegesis, may not only be pshat, the contextual meaning, but should even be counted as one of the 613 mitzvot. But and he says, how then can I fulfill the injunction? Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam. I must conclude that it means verbal utterance. The same way as I have to publicly say, I remember the Shabbat, the same way as I have to publicly say, I remember what Amalek did, so too I have to out loud say, Zachor et Asher Asa, remember what happened to Miriam on her way out of Egypt. It's a positive commandment, just like Kiddush on Shabbat. It's not just good advice. It's not like, be careful, but it's something that we need to remember on a daily basis. And the Ramban sees the connection between Sara'at and Lashon Hara is even stronger than Rashi. He says, it appears from here our rabbis consider this a commandment, not as a narrative and advice on how to be saved from plagues, as Rashi explained it, and how is it possible that concerning slander, which is as weighty as bloodshed, there should not be a real negative commandment against it in the Torah? I was a little perplexed about this because lo telech rechil ba'amecha, you shall not go as a talebearer amongst your people, is also a mitzvah. But as my colleague Dr. Mish Hammer-Kassoy pointed out, that is talking about rechilut gossip, whereas this is speaking about lashon hara, which are different categories of prohibitions, and the one does not necessarily include it in the other. Lashon hara is speaking evil of people, true, even if it may be true. The Ramban is working on the assumption that there must be, it's a very, very rabbinic way of looking at things, it has to be that there's a mitzvah in the Torah against lashon hara. It's such an important mitzvah, and therefore it must be this. You know, it's not the deductive method at all. It's like there must be a mitzvah against it. He says, but this verse contains a great admonition to refrain from it in public and in private, whether with intention to hurt and to shame or with no intention to harm at all. And this commandment is one of the 613 mitzvot. So for the Rambam, the connection between Tzara'at and Lashon Hara is that this is the source for the prohibition, the Torah prohibition against Lashon Hara. And the reason to connect it to Miriam is that it could be made into a zachor et. It could be made into something historic that you must be remember. It is able to be ritualized in a concrete way that needs to be said out loud. And in fact, it all makes very good sense with the Tzara'at laws. If a person does not use their power of communication with others for good, but rather for destructive purposes, vis-a-vis what she or he may choose to say to whom, then that person will be forced to take up residence outside the encampment, away from other people, at least temporary, when the only human beings with whom the individual will be able to speak are those experiencing the same malady. If you speak bad of others, which is creating a wedge in society, you will be punished by having to be separated from society and only be able to speak to similar people. I remember once, years and years ago, it's hard to say it because it's sort of me like speaking Lashon Hara about somebody else, but I'm not saying names. I fell in with a crowd of people who really all just spent their time backbiting and being nasty to each other. And at some point, I really felt it was almost like a punishment that these people were having themselves. It was almost like midah keneged midah, measure for measure. The punishment that they had was that they were living in amongst other people who spent their time being nasty about each other. And that's almost a little bit what's going on. You like to gossip? We'll put you amongst people who gossip all the time. And guess what? They're going to be gossiping about you too. So we have two answers so far. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, and the connection, and that gave it Tzara'at, and the connection to a specific individual is to exhort us morally. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara and got a Tzara'at. The reason to connect the two is that in Dvarim, this will be turned into a mitzvah against Lashon Hara. And the reason to connect it to Miriam is to be able to turn it into a concrete historical event that can be remembered in a ritual way. A third answer is found based on Shabbat 97a in the Babylonian Talmud. Amar Reish Lakish, Hachoshed Bekshirim Lokeh Begufo. A person who suspects innocent individuals will be bodily afflicted, psychosomatic. What you think affects what your body does. And in Legends of the Jews by Louis Ginsberg, Rabbi Louis Ginsberg, number 7 on your source sheet, he clearly tells the story about what happened. When the 70 elders, this is based upon Midrashim, when the 70 elders were appointed and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, all the women lighted candles of joy to celebrate by this illumination the elevation of these men to the dignity of prophets. Zipporah, Moses' wife, saw the illumination and asked Miriam to explain it. She told her the reason and added, "Blessed are the women who behold with their eyes how their husbands are raised in dignity." Zipporah answered, "It would be more proper to say, 'Woe to the wives of Israel, to the wives of these men, who must now abstain from all conjugal happiness. Now that they are leaders, no more sex.'" Miriam, "How dost thou know this?" She's shocked to hear this, something so blunt. "It sounded not nice when I said it. How can you say this, that these high people will not going to be engaged in conjugal relations? We're not Catholics." Miriam, "How dost thou know this, Zipporah? I judge so from the conduct of your brother. For ever since he was chosen to receive divine revelations, he no longer knows his wife." A very powerful piece of intimate knowledge. Miriam hereupon went to Aaron and said to him, "I also received divine revelations, but without being obliged to separate myself from my husband." Whereupon Aaron agreed, saying, "I too received divine revelations without being obliged to separate myself from my wife." Hey, what's going on over here? We didn't have to separate from our spouses. They both agreed, saying, "Our fathers also received revelations, but without discontinuing their conjugal life. Moshe abstains from conjugal joys only out of pride, to show how holy a man he is." It's Ga'ava, it's Yehura. It's like what we read about in terms of King Uzziah and Naaman and Gehazi. He says, "This is religious holier than thouness." Not only did they speak evil of Moses to each other, but hastened to him and told him to his face their opinion of his conduct. But he, who could be self-assured and stern when he touched a matter concerning God's glory, was silent to the undeserved reproaches they heaped upon him, knowing that upon God's bidding he had forsworn earthly pleasures. So Moshe is not having conjugal relations. This is because God told him. Miriam hears about it. She's shocked. She speaks to Aaron. She speaks to Moshe. And the Targum Yonatan of Dvarim, which does much more than translate, even though technically it's a translation, he says, "Be careful not to falsely suspect another person in order that you not be smitten. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam, who falsely suspected Moshe of something that wasn't true, and she was smitten by skin affection." Interesting, over here, it's less the tzara'at. Over here, it's the being choshed b'ksherim. It's suspecting innocent people. And what they're saying over here is the connection between Miriam and tzara'at is that she didn't think the best of people. And the connection and the reason why they felt the need to connect it to Miriam is, again, for the reasons of a narrative, that you have a concrete example of what happens when you don't think the best of people. And a final reason as to why it's so powerful to connect the story, the Lashon Hara and Sarat, to Miriam is the Chizkuni, who says, "Shelo tehader pnei gadol liftor melishlocho chutz leshalosh machanot." Don't exempt important people from banishment to the camp. Sheharei zechoret asher asa Hashem elokech leMiriam. Look at what happened to Miriam. Shehaita achota lemelech vekohen gadol. She was the sister to the king and to the high priest. I mean, she had a lot of yichas. Ve'avol pichen niskara chutz lemachaneh shivat yamim. She still was sent to the seven people. There's something very powerful about connecting it to Miriam. This is not a random man gathering sticks who's punished. This is not a random person who we don't really know that much about, who is doing Avodah Zarah. This is Miriam, the first lady of the nation. And despite the high status, she was punished. And this connects it also to what we said earlier about all these great people like Uzziyahu and Naaman, Gehazi, people who thought too much of themselves getting punished. Here it's the opposite. It's saying even this great person is going to be punished, and we have to create an equitable equitable system. So we see four very, very powerful ideas as to why Lashon Hara is connected to Miriam, why Tzaraat is connected to Lashon Hara. The first is that if we have a concrete example, it's something we can learn from, and it's that answer says that the proximity of Miriam speaking about Moses and the Tzaraat teaches us that it is. The second one says it's not just coincidence. This is actually a mitzvah from the Torah, mitzvah not to speak Lashon Hara, and a positive command to remember the narrative. And that's the connection to Miriam. The third one says the connection between Miriam and Tzaraat is not Lashon Hara, but it is the sin of not thinking the best of people. And the reason to connect it to Miriam, again, is to, when you have a story, it's so much more powerful. And finally, we have a fourth answer that says the reason that it's connected to Miriam is to show that this applies to everybody, great and small. I think these are great answers. I think they're beautiful answers. As it says at the bottom of the source sheet, it's not my great wisdom, but Rabbi Menachem Liebtag and Rabbi Yaakov Bieler wrote beautiful articles about this, and I really have based myself on what they have to say, sometimes even using their exact words. I think it's really beautiful. I think what they said is really, really beautiful, but I'd like to just push it one step further, and I would like to say that we can use these four elements as examples of how to create a great society. We speak about a lot about how to create the good society, how to create a great society, but I think if we look over here, we really have four examples of it. First, there's the moral exhortation of saying it's Miriam and you, it could happen to you too. First, we need to have inwardness. People have to want to be good people. People have to want to live in a good society. Second, we have the Ramban, who turns this piece about Miriam into a concrete rule against speaking Lashon Hara, the story of Miriam into something that I need to do. And I think a second element for creating a great society is, first of all, clear ethical rules and also rituals, ways to encapsulate those rules. It's not enough just to have the rules. There need to be ways in which we remind ourselves as a society what are our central values. Thirdly, we have the Targum Yonatan, who says the sin was not thinking the best of others. And that, I think, is another way to build a great society, to create a world in which people are thinking the best of each other, in which people give the benefit of the doubt. And finally, we have the answer about a great person like Miriam also being punished. In order to create a good society, it needs to be a fair system, and it needs to be a system in which the great and the small are judged the same, and where all can be punished. Lashon Hara is about destruction of society. It's a basic act that destroys society. The way the rabbis deal with Lashon Hara teach us how to create a wonderful society, a good society, a society in which we will not want to speak Lashon Hara. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.